Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies, Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to close out our series on the Christian security. And this is accented and highlighted in this day and age because of the insecurity that is all around us. Now, we've already considered we have a word that cannot change, the Bible. That's our security. God has spoken, and he will stand back at his word. We have a Lord that cannot die. We have a life that cannot end. We have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We have a love that cannot falter. And today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to close out the series with a climax. We have a power that cannot be resisted. All power is resident in God. And we read in Romans 8 and 31, what shall we say then to these things? And Paul, in the 8th chapter of Romans, had been considering all the sovereignty of God and the things that he's doing to conform the Christian to himself. And Paul says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That is security. We've got the power of God, and that power cannot be resisted. I think of the pilot. The lesson that he had to learn by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In the 19th chapter of John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus is before this man, Pilate. He's before him. He's being tried. And we read in that 19th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, the Jews in verse 7 of that chapter, the Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die. Christ was being accused by the Jews because he had made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid and went again into the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Now the Apostle Paul echoes this thought in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, or 13th chapter rather, of Romans, and verse 1. And here he says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Pilate was ordained of God. The powers that be that are ordained of God to keep crime and wickedness in check. And we read as we have already read, that God is the answer to these things. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. And that power keeps evil in check. Paul says to those Romans to whom he is writing, he says, you be careful of that power. That ruler does not bear the sword in vain. All power is of God. We read this in the Old Testament. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when he came and spake to his disciples before his departure into glory, gave them the great commission, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power is given unto me. The word power here could be better translated authority. You not only have to have the power, but you have the authority to use it. And Christ had both the power and the authority to use it. Now we read as we continue in this thought of power. Power is resident in God, and the authority is given to Christ. Now this power is centered in the Christian. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan is in the world. His mighty forces, his angels, his myriads of angels, They are a power indeed, but Christ has put the Spirit of God within you and me. We read, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 14 on down to the end of that chapter, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul says, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God," the love of Christ rather, "which passeth understanding, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God." We put God into the picture right with Christ in this 19th verse of the third chapter of Ephesians. "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth understanding, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." That power cannot be resisted, and that power is resident in us. In Colossians chapter 1, we are told of the might of that power, of that Spirit that is within us. And indeed, we have been equipped by the Spirit of God to indwell us, to lead us into the ways of God, and he is the power of the Christian life. I've said before on the broadcast, and it bears repetition, I think, that the average person, sometimes, and we run across this philosophy in the world today, "I could not live up to the Christian ethic. I do not want to live up to the Christian ethic. I couldn't do it." Well, bless your heart, nobody can do it. We cannot do it. The power comes from God. The power to live the Christian life is resident in the Holy Spirit of God. And God has given him to indwell us. "And greater is he that is in you that is in the world." That bears repetition, doesn't it? Yes, that power is within us. And we have that power to go on. Now, I think that it is so lovely to close out a series like this on the last two of the studies that we've undertaken, the one before this one and this one that we're studying at the moment. We have a love that cannot falter and a power that cannot be resisted. This power cannot be resisted. God said that it couldn't be. There's no power but of God. And you and I have this power resident in you and me, and power and love are combined. Now, I think this is beautifully illustrated in the 28th chapter of the book of Exodus. The high priest is there brought before us. He's brought before us in his lovely, beautiful garments in which he ministers in the holy place. And on the shoulder of the ephod that the priest wore, there was an ouch containing a stone, and a large stone on the left shoulder and a large stone on the right shoulder of that ephod. Now, the names of the children of Israel were engraved in those stones, six tribes on one stone and six tribes on the other stone. So he was bearing the names of the children as he went into the holy place. He was bearing their names upon his shoulders. Now, also there was the breastplate, and in that breastplate that he wore, which was fastened to the ephod, that breastplate in which he wore were 12 precious stones. And in these stones, and they're all different, 12 variety of, varieties of stones in that breastplate. And in the different stones are engraved a name of one of the tribes of Israel. Now, wouldn't that be beautiful? That breastplate with 12 gleaming, beautiful stones in it, and the name of the children of Israel on each stone. Now, between that breastplate and the shoulder plates of Aaron, there was a golden chain, and God distinctly told Moses, "Don't let that chain be broken. Don't let that breastplate be separated from the ephod, from those ouches of stone on Aaron's shoulders." All right, now get the picture, please. This is a beautiful picture in type. The names were on the shoulders of Aaron, and the shoulders are the place of strength. You remember when the Lord Jesus gave us the parable of the lost sheep. The sheep is brought home after the shepherd finds the sheep. You remember the story. It's so well known. He found the sheep and he laid it on his shoulders. And we read in the ninth chapter of Isaiah that the government of this world is on the shoulder of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the place of rest. That's the place of strength. Now the breastplate was down on the breast, and that's the place of love. Now, the Christian security is seen both in the love and the power of God. We have a love that cannot falter. We have a power that cannot be resisted. It's ours. It's our security. And there is no security apart from love. You cannot find security, really, in the world apart from love. Take that and bring it into the life of a little child. If he knows he's loved, he feels secure. If he's not loved, if he's in an area where he's not loved, say in an orphanage or something like that, and he's not loved, he is not secure. But he is secure in the love of his parents, that they're going to give him all that he needs. We have that security. We have the love of God and the power of God, and that is the secret of the Christian's security. No security without both power and love combined. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the very seat of power in himself, "All power is given unto me," he says in the Great Commission. All power is resident in him. And he is on the throne, and he loves us, and he's taking care of us, and he preserves us by his power. How wonderful, we have love and power combined to close out this series on the Christian security, for indeed, that's exactly what it is. Our Father, today, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry to us and our sweet security that has been provided us. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.